Thank you to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode. We spend a lot of time talking about how important it is to take care of your mental health. Therapy is an excellent way to do that. BetterHelp is an affordable mental health care option that fits right into your busy schedule. Just answer a few quick questions about your needs and preferences, and BetterHelp will match you with one of the thousands of experienced mental health professionals in their network. You can talk to your therapist over text, chat, phone, or video. You get to pick what works best for you, your comfort, and your schedule. If you feel like your therapist isn't the right fit, BetterHelp makes it easy to switch to someone new at no additional cost. So give it a try and see why over 2 million people have used BetterHelp online therapy. BetterHelp is offering our listeners 10% off their first month of therapy. Just go to betterhelp.com/musicspeaks to get started. That's betterhelp, HELP.com/musicspeaks to get 10% off your first month of therapy.
Hey guys, we wanted to take a quick minute to tell you about our recent partnership with the Amazing Bones Coffee Company.
Let's face it, you're probably sick and tired of drinking that old plain Jane coffee brand every morning. Well, fret not, dear listener. Bones Coffee is here to kick your taste buds into high gear.
Bones Coffee has a wide variety of flavors to choose from, including maple bacon, peaches and spring, island grog, and my personal favorite, chocolate raspberry.
Once you become hooked on the coffee, you'll be excited to learn that they have plenty of merch options to choose from as well. T-shirts, mugs, tote bags, the list goes on.
You can buy their coffee in whole bean, ground, and even evil single serve options.
Guys, we wouldn't lie to you. This coffee is great, and we know that you're going to love it too, which is why we have partnered up with Bones Coffee, and now our listeners have an exclusive discount code.
Make sure to use the code MUSICSPEAKS at checkout for 10% off your order.
That's right, James. Go to bonescoffee.com to kickstart your new coffee addiction and use the code MUSICSPEAKS for 10% off today. If you're anything like me, free time is limited. So things like yard work are just not doable. And if you're also like me, you don't even own a lawnmower. That is why All Above Landscaping is the right choice. All Above includes a variety of options when it comes to your landscaping needs, including lawn installation, design, irrigation, debris removal, maintenance, and much more. If you're in the city of Sumter and you're looking for reliable service at a friendly price, give All Above Landscaping a call today. It's 803-464-7414. Mention that you heard this ad on this podcast and you'll get a special discount on your first service. Again, that's 803-464-7414. Call All Above Landscaping today. Like so many of you, we battle depression through life's ups and downs.
Music has always been the one thing we could rely on to get us through the tough times we all face.
Follow us on our journey as we discuss the healing power of music, share our stories through songs and lyrics,
interview musicians and other artists,
break down genres,
deep dive into band biographies,
and much, much more.
This is the Woodward Fail
Music Speaks podcast
with Blake Mosley,
James Todd,
and Amanda Dolan.
Like so many of you, we battle depression through life's ups and downs.
Music has always been the one thing we could rely on to get us through the tough times we all face.
Follow us on our journey as we discuss the healing power of music, share our stories through songs and lyrics,
interview musicians and other artists,
break down genres,
deep dive into band biographies,
and much, much more.
This is the Woodward Fail
Music Speaks podcast
with Blake Mosley,
James Todd,
and Amanda Dolan.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Woodward Fail Music Speaks podcast, the podcast where we fight depression with the power of music. I'm your professional handicapped host, James Cox, and I got another great interview today. I want to tell you about him first before we have him on. His name is Zach McKinsey. Did I say that right?
Yes.
Zach McKinsey, all right, because sometimes I'm not the best speller and I'm not the best speaker also, but I'm learning, you know.
Oh, you're good.
So Zach McKinsey, the talented winner of 2012's Arkansas American Idol, just released his latest single, The Day That I Found You, which is a great song. Everybody needs to check it out now. Pause this, check it out, and come back. You know, it's all good, you know. He released it on March 29th, 2024, so he just released it. This soulful and heartfelt track showcases McKenzie's powerful vocals and emotive songwriting, promising to captivate listeners with its raw emotion and relatable lyrics. Born in 1987 in Pine Bluff, Arkansas, Zachary Wayne McKenzie discovered his passion for music at a young age, thanks to his family's regular church attendance. He further honed his musical talents by participating in the high school choir before graduating in 2005. Following a brief stint at Bible College, McKenzie decided to pursue a career in music, a decision that would ultimately lead him to the spotlight. After winning the American Idol in Arkansas in 2012, McKenzie auditioned for a 12th season of American Idol, where judges Mariah Carey, Randy Jackson, Nicki Minaj, and Keith Urban unanimously voted to send him to Hollywood. Although he was sent home during the group stage, McKenzie's talent and passion for the music continued to shine. Zach, what's going on, man?
Not a whole lot, James. How are you?
All right. Good. That is a lot of information that I'm trying to know. So you are in Arkansas right now, right? Or are you located somewhere else?
I live in Conway, Arkansas at the moment.
Okay. So how is the music scene over there in Arkansas?
It's not bad.
Okay.
It's not bad. It's pretty good. There's a lot of restaurants. There's a lot of small music venues. There's a lot of bars that have live music in different genres. It's pretty good in the Little Rock metropolitan area.
I hear it's like the smaller version of Nashville. Is that true?
If that's the case, much smaller version of that. Yes.
Yeah. Well, it has its moments too, you know.
Yeah.
But I listened to the new song of yours and Angel Wings, right? Angel Wings by far is my favorite. My favorite song of all time you've written so far. There's a lot of genre categories that one can fit in, right?
Yes.
So in the bio, I read country, soul, and gospel, right? But I feel like you don't fit in one category. You fit in multiple categories. Do you feel like that's correct, or do you feel like you fit in one more than the other?
Honestly, I think that's correct because I love all kinds of music. There's not a specific genre that I said that's the one I got to be in right. Because I love country with all my heart. I love gospel with all of my heart. I love classic Motown music. I even like some swing music, some Buble and Frank Sinatra. Like I like to listen to all different kinds of music, and I think the music I come out with really reflects that I'm very open minded when it comes to genre.
Yeah, because So back in high school, I was a religious heavy metal fan, right?
Okay.
I used to listen to nothing but Metallica, you know. And yeah. Then as I grew up, I listened to everything. But so I was raised on country. Country is my number one genre.
Yeah.
But if it wasn't country, it would be Motown. What would be considered your ultimately favorite genre of all time?
My favorite genre of all time. That is very hard to answer. Yeah. Because I think it depends on the day, really, because if I'm having a good day and I'm in a good mood, I want to listen to Motown. Mm-hmm. If I'm dry, you know, it's the kind of music you just want to listen to with the top down and just a big smile on your face. If you're in a bad mood, Motown has a way of putting you in a good mood. So for those reasons, I guess classic R&B would be my favorite to listen to. But in all honesty, I equally love country music, and I love Johnny Cash. I love Loretta Lynn. I love Hank Williams Sr. I think some of the best songwriting is in country music, and I even like a lot of the newer country music. I don't really have a preference in terms of timeline. I like, yeah. I really do like it all. That's an honest answer.
I am going to agree with you that country is like by far, besides Motown, of course, is my favorite genre because it has more of a storytelling aspect that you don't find in other genres.
Yeah.
You know? Because country is so true to the soul.
Yeah.
I mean, it grabbed me from day one. Is that what you think too? Or like, do you agree that country is going away from storytelling now? Because it used to be like Johnny Cash had an album called Ride That Train,
mm-hmm.
where it was 12 songs about and there was a cut and there was a concept album about going to every state in the train.
Yeah.
You know, real storytelling. Do you find that true now, or do you find it like country's going away from storytelling right now?
I think there's a part of it that might be, but I think there's a lot of country music that still exists today that's being put on the radio today that is still telling great stories. I mean, I think Till You Can't by Cody Johnson tells a really good story. I think that I think a lot of Scotty McCreery's songs are good storytelling songs. And, you know, much like Motown music, I think country music has kind of come into the feel-good aspect of things, that there's a lot of music out there that might not necessarily be telling a story the way Johnny Cash would have, but it's still very much country and it feels good. So I would say that some of it is moving away from that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I don't think it's completely abandoned it either. I think that there's still a lot of artists and a lot of good songs that are telling a really heartfelt story in the country genre even today.
Right. Well, two artists that just come to mind between storytelling now is Chris Stapleton and Luke Combs.
Yeah.
I find it like fantastic, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's good. So let's go all the way back to your child days.
Yeah.
Do you remember your first memory of hearing music for the first time?
I can't say that I remember when I heard music for the first time. There okay. wasn't a moment where I'm like, oh, that's music. But the big picture would be that I grew up in the church and we had a very, very, very strong music department in our church. We did mostly Southern gospel. We had a choir and that was really my roots. But I will say there was a moment that I do remember when I was probably about 8 or 9 years old. We rented the movie My Girl, the Dan Aykroyd, Jimmy Lee Curtis, that movie, Macaulay Culkin.
Yeah.
And at the end of that movie, during the credits, they actually played the song My Girl by the Temptations. And that was the first time I had heard that song. And I remember rewinding the tape. It was taped back then. Rewinding the tape, I don't know how many times, 100 times, just because I wanted to hear the song.
Yeah, yeah.
Over and over and over and over and over and over and over, because it like we talked about Motown music feeling really good. It was such a feel-good song. It was such a, I mean, it's the kind of music you want to listen to on a sunny day. Blue skies, you know, where you're feeling good and free. You want to listen to that kind of music. And the song I just come out with, I feel like really reflects that. So I don't remember the moment I heard music for the first time, but I remember the moment I heard something that caught my attention. That's like, I, you know, maybe an eight-year-old or a nine-year-old might not know what his future is going to look like.
Right.
But you know that this song is going to have something to do with it. I know that's strange, but like,
yeah.
that's the best way to describe it, in my opinion.
So by hearing that song, I know you probably didn't know it then, but in the back of your mind, did you ultimately want to become a musician because of that one song?
I would say that definitely played a huge part of it. It wasn't the ultimate, you know, like I said, at 8 years old, I didn't decide I was.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But I would say that kind of song, that song definitely played a part. And as I got to be a teenager and into my early 20s, there were other artists and specific songs and specific moments that kind of played a role into all that.
Right. So we learned in the bio and people who know you, you won the American Idol in Arkansas. Right?
Yeah, it was called Arkansas Idol. It was a competition in Rogers, Arkansas. A couple hundred people auditioned. And somehow I ended up winning. And because of that, I got to go sing for the, I got to go to the front of the line at American Idol that season.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I, if you can just, cause I think you're the first person who interviewed has been on American Idol. So, you know, so this is very interesting to me. So if you don't mind, can you take us through the whole day or like was it a span of like a week or something? Because I know they have to freak out, you know.
Actually, the entire experience was a span of about 3 or 4 months.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. And because I went and tried out in Oklahoma City after I won Arkansas Idol and got past the first round. Right. And I went through 3 or 4 different things. I had to come back home and go back to Oklahoma City, come back home and go back to Oklahoma City. 3 or 4 times before I even met the judges, the celebrity judges. And,
right.
And that was a 3-day thing, I think. I think we got there and they filmed a lot of stuff of us waiting in the tents. That was a 2-day thing. And then the next day, the judges were there and everyone that had made it to that point got to sing for the judges. And then another couple of months passed. And I finally got to go to Hollywood. I got my golden ticket a few months prior, but then I went to Hollywood Week, and I was there 3 or 4 days, I think. I think they did the first round, and they made it through, and then they did the group rounds, and that's where I went home.
Yeah. So it's not like, well, I know they have the... Okay, so which judge... like took you by surprise because we see these high class celebrities on TV. They're doing wild things, right? So which judge really surprised you that he or she was like the nicest person ever made?
this might surprise some people.
Okay.
Nicki Minaj.
Really?
Yes.
That is surprising.
my experience, Nicki Minaj was super sweet and super nice. Now I see how she is on TV, and so you know, I don't, who am I? I can't judge anybody, but my experience of actually being there and seeing her and in person, she was super sweet to me, and they all were really. Nobody was mean, but I just she seemed to be the one because she was the first one that showed up in Hollywood Week. We were all in the theater, and she was the first judge to show up. And she was talking to everybody and asking, like, everybody as a whole, like, how's everybody doing? She said that she had watched everyone's audition the night before so that we would be fresh in our minds. So, yeah, you know, I would say that she was probably the nicest judge. But they were all four really, really cool.
Yeah. So we found out that they sent you home. But that does not mean that you stopped doing music, because I'm sure you got opportunities up to Wazoo playing venues for different stuff after you got off, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Ended up going to Nashville for about 3 years.
Okay.
And played out there full time. And of course, I've never really had an issue being back home. Coming off of American Idol and coming back home from Nashville, playing. Right. I usually just get on the phone and get on the emails, and I try to play as often as I can. I do this for a living. This is full time for me. So
I'm actually reading that you became a director in 2022. You directed a short, like a short movie.
I did.
Right. Okay. So did you always want to try it after music or like music was one and only thing? I mean, like how did you directing come about?
Well, I've always loved movies. I said, kind of tied together with the story I told earlier. We rented My Girl. As a kid, I was obsessed with movies. I still am. I'm a film buff, and I've got my favorite directors, my favorite actors. I've got my favorite movies. And part of my creativity, sometimes it comes in the form of writing a song. And then other times I feel like this would make a good movie. So I write a movie. Yeah, you know, I write a script instead. And it was always something I just wanted to try. I would say music is my day job and probably always will be. Right. And that was when I really got out on my own and started pursuing music, or started, you know, making a life plan, it was music.
And right.
Still is, but I want to make a little room for that. And, you know, all I've done right now is make a short film, but I've got a lot of ideas and I've got some plans for the future, but I will say that music is probably always going to be my day job. Yeah.
Right. Yes. Always and forever. Right. Yeah. So for anybody who wants to, well, okay. So the short film is it on my cell anywhere? Cause it's Jonette Road. Is it a title for anybody who wants to go out there?
Yes, it's called Jonette Road, and we're looking to put it into the film festival circuit, hopefully this summer. That's the plan.
Okay, so it's not yet.
It's not available yet because I believe there's some rules that you can't enter it if it's available. So
yeah, they're always so picky about that. Kind of stuff. You know, who knows? You know, so it's dilemmas. You know, so
yeah.
Okay, so playing in Nashville, we'll play now. What is your favorite live performance memory? And how do you prepare for a show?
What is my favorite live performance memory? That's a good question.
Because I know you played a lot in Nashville and Arkansas and where you go. Yeah.
I got the opportunity in a group I was in to open for Josh Turner.
Nice.
A couple of years ago. And there was a lot of people there. It was in Hot Springs, Arkansas, and just the energy of that crowd and getting to perform in that kind of venue for that kind of crowd, I thought, boy, I could get used to this. It was really fun. Of course, my mind went, don't get too excited. Next week, you're going to be back in the ball.
No,
that was probably my favorite That's probably been that's definitely one of my favorites. If I really had time to think about it, I'd probably think of a few more. But, you know, I don't really have like a ritual preparing for a show. Mm-hmm. I just usually just say a little prayer and just go on. And this doesn't matter if this is in front of a big crowd opening for a big name, or if this is me just with my guitar playing for a restaurant. I usually just say a little prayer. I hope this goes well, you know. Mm-hmm. Because you never know what's going to happen being an independent artist. You're not going to be everyone's cup of tea. You know, everyone's got their stories. But that's really it. Just say a little prayer and then go do my thing.
Yeah. I guess you say you're like us. We like to talk about mental health on this podcast tremendously, and how depression can music can have an effect on depression.
Yeah.
And I guess you just said you said a prayer for the show before you go on. Do you listen to any kind of music like right before I'm getting on to get your juices flowing?
I mean, before I go on?
Yes.
Sometimes I need to get in the right frame of mind. But usually my biggest anxiety is that something's going to happen that's not supposed to happen. I'm going to not hear myself and I'm going to be off key, or there's going to be a frog in my throat right before the big note. I'm not going to hit it, or something. My biggest anxiety is that something's going to go wrong. And I grew up in church. I'm very open about that. So, you know, that's really the reason for the prayer, is that I hope nothing really goes wrong. But sometimes I do have to listen to some music. You know, my personal favorites, like being Motown. I like to listen to some old Rascal Flatts. I like to listen to some Gavin DeGraw, just to put myself in the frame of mind that I feel like I need to be in.
Well, speaking of all the cool country artists in the past, mm-hmm. I'm going to ask you this because I'm always generally curious. Who would you consider to be the king of country music, male and female, king and queen?
I think 100% Loretta Lynn is the queen of country music.
Okay. She's great. Yeah.
George Strait is the one who actually has the title. Like, He's known as the king of country, but
that's the main answer.
I don't disagree with that. I think, but I think there's definitely some others that might be in that conversation. You know, like maybe Merle Haggard or Hank Williams, and
Well, I don't consider Garth Brooks to be anything like, you know, Prince or something. Maybe Clinton Black. I don't know. Maybe Dwight Yoakam.
Yeah.
I don't know. But that, they're definitely not kings, but they're up there, you know.
Yeah. Well, and I have what's called a Mount Rushmore of country music.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Because I was asking you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So now that we said that, who is your four? If you could do Mount Rushmore.
And I have reasons for all four.
Please give it to us. Yes.
I think Hank Williams Sr. belongs on there because he is the one who, he didn't create country music, but he brought it to a mainstream audience. I think Loretta Lynn belongs on there because she opened up doors for women in country music. And she really changed up the game. She was one of the first ones to use drums.
Really?
In her live performance. And she was really kind of the first edgy songwriter. So definitely her. I think Johnny Cash, because Johnny Cash crossed over. He was the first country artist to cross over and into multiple. He brought eyes to country music that weren't listening. He was the first to do that. And fourth, people might disagree, but I'm going to say the fourth one is going to be Garth Brooks, because he was the first one to take country music to an international audience.
Yeah.
So.
And that's fair to say, because he was huge in the 90s.
Yes, he was. So those are my four, and I feel like those are good reasons those four.
And those are great musicians to have the four. So thank you for that. Now, when you are on tour, what has been the most challenging aspect of your musical career so far? And how do you overcome them?
Well, I don't tour really too much, because right now a lot of my shows are at home. But I would say, there have been times I have been out on the road, and I get homesick. There's no place like home. I like being in my own bed. I like being. There's no place like home. So there's probably the biggest obstacle right there. And but I don't really tour too much, if I'm being honest with you. I don't go on the road, not like I used to. I'm typically just playing local residencies. I have a show every Sunday, a show every Tuesday. But I will say there, one obstacle I will say is sometimes it is difficult to keep the schedule busy, because you never know, anything in the music business can happen. Gigs can get canceled. And unlike other jobs, if you don't go to the gig, you don't get paid. So, I was a kid, I really liked snow days because I didn't have to go to school. But now as an adult, I don't like snow days, because it snowed this year in Arkansas for about 3 days and I had to miss a gig. And I'm like, oh, I hate that. I don't want to, because it's like I'm not on salary. So if I don't go to the gig, I don't get paid. So that's probably the biggest obstacle. But I have been very blessed with some gigs that I have, and to be able to make a living.
When you did go to Nashville and had all those venues and stuff, was there one that was really, really like rowdy, like you couldn't like stand being in there?
Couldn't say. Well, I don't want to say in particular if it was one. I'm not really big on the super late night crowd. I will say that my fiance and I went to Nashville to record the single that just came out beginning of the year. And we did go to downtown Broadway for New Year's Eve.
Nice.
And I realized in that moment that I have gotten old, because you couldn't move in any of these places. I mean, it was impossible to get close to the stage, and it just really wasn't like it wasn't like I remembered it. I was like, oh, I remember this being a lot more fun when I was 25 years old. So, right. Yeah.
Cool. So I wanted to dive deep into two songs mentioned them before, Angel Wings and The Day I Found You.
Okay.
And I think that these are personal songs from your personal experiences. Am I correct or am I not?
You are very correct. Yes, sir.
Okay. Yeah. So can you explain to me Angel's Wings, because I really really love that song to death.
Thank you so much. I'm glad you like it. That one, you went back in time with that one.
9 years.
That was a while back.
Yes, sir. So,
I was single at the time I wrote that, and okay. That was really about this idea. Because like I said, I'm also a screenwriter. So my mind always kind of goes, how would this play out in a movie? And in my mind, where I kind of had this idea of this love story, and it's a fictional love story about a guy who, kind of a guy in my position, who's really just a musician, but if he was to be with somebody better than him, somebody he doesn't feel like he deserves, somebody that's got their life together, and he doesn't have it figured out, but she loves him anyway. So he's telling her, you know, you won't say goodbye, you won't leave, but you can do better. And in the chorus, let me hold on. If that's the case, then let me hold on to your angel wings while you're flying, because I can't fly, but you can. So let me hold on to you while you're flying so that I can fly too. And that's the idea of the song. And what's interesting is I feel that way about the woman I'm with now. And I wrote this song years before I met her.
Yeah.
I feel like she is somebody who's got a great head on her shoulders, and she knows what she wants out of life, both personal and with career. And sometimes I don't always feel that way about myself, and she's my rock. And, you know, there's so many moments I feel like I'm holding on to her angel wings while she's flying. And, you know, she's gracious enough to let me fly with her, even though I can't fly myself. That's the whole idea of that song.
Right. Nice. Well, I guess the Day I Found You is about your fiance, right?
It is it is 100% about her. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So I guess both songs are very, very like personal for you more than any other song, correct?
Yeah. And it's interesting because a lot of personal songs, I would say that I write a lot of them myself, but there's these two in particular that you're talking about, I wrote myself, but there is a lot of songs that I would still say are personal that I co-wrote with people. You know, there might've been something missing, like a bridge or something, and it came together. But The Day That I Found You is just a description of how it feels to finally have this thing that maybe you kind of gave up looking for. So you weren't looking anymore, and then you found it.
Yeah. Well, I'm still looking. So maybe I'll find the finder somewhere, you know. But it's okay. So a lot of people don't like sharing their personal songs. Mm-hmm. And I know that you're a writer and you must have like 50,000 songs already that you've written. Is there, when you're coming up with album, has there been some songs like I'm not ready to share this one with the world just yet? Maybe in the next album, or
I don't think I've ever quite felt that way.
Okay,
if I'm being honest. Usually, if I write something and it's super if I feel really good about it, yeah, I want to go ahead and get it out. But to me, it all comes down to the song. If it's strong or not. Even you know, there's times I write songs and I think it's the next big hit.
Yeah,
and I sleep on it, listen to it the next day, and went, wow, that really isn't very good at all. Why did I think that was good? Why did I write that?
How did I write it right? Yeah.
So then I wouldn't release it. But like, well, I don't think it's that good, so I think I could do better.
Well, as a writer, I'm sure you've overthought some songs too, and some songs you gave them to somebody, and they're like, oh, this is really good, but you're like, nah, I don't think so. Has that ever happened to you? I mean,
has. And one interesting thing is, you know, they say art is subjective, right? So there's times I've written a song and someone heard it and it took on a whole different meaning.
Right.
From what I was thinking when I wrote it, they took it a different way. And that to me, you know, you talk about this is a show dedicated to mental health and how music, you know, speaks. Music is powerful because I've written songs before with a completely different objective or mindset, and someone heard it and thought, wow, that really speaks to me because of this. I'm like, wow, I wasn't even thinking of that when I wrote it. That to me, that tells you right there how powerful music can be. I would say my dad likes a couple of songs, and my dad's one of my biggest fans, that I don't really like. Songs that I wrote early on, like a long time ago, that I don't think would work today at all. Okay. But my dad's like, why don't you do that one? I'm like, Dad, that sounds horrible. Yeah. It's not very good. He said, it's one of my favorites. And I appreciate it. But yeah, to answer your question, that does happen. There's people that like some songs that I don't think I did a really good job writing, but I still appreciate it.
You're right. I mean, music and art is subjective.
Mm-hmm.
I want to agree with your dad, because just because you think it's not good doesn't mean that somebody else won't dig it. Because each song has a different meaning for the individual, you know?
Right.
And that song might bring him out of your funk, bring him back from some kind of horrible feel, you know? So I would say, respectfully think, that you should maybe think about releasing one song and see if it works, you know? I don't know.
Yeah.
You know? So, maybe. I don't know.
You're right.
Yeah. All right. It's just an idea, you know? All right. So, I have one last question for you. And I think it's the hardest question I've ever asked you so far. But we'll see, you know? You may answer this, very, very quickly.
Okay.
So an artist, album, or song that you can think of right now, but you can't tell me, your dad, or your fiance how it makes you feel deep inside your soul.
So an album, an artist, or a song that I haven't told anybody.
That you can listen to, but you can't tell anybody how it makes you feel deep inside.
Oh, wow, that is a really tough question.
I don't. Yeah.
So I don't know. That is really, really tough, because like there's a ton of albums that have made me feel a ton of different ways. I can't really say that there's something that. I can't really say that there's something that makes me feel in a way that I can't share it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like there's no secrets or anything, but I would say one of my favorite groups was Rascal Flatts, and they've recently broken up over the last couple of years, and but I really liked what they did early on, and I would say that Melt by Rascal Flatts. That's an album.
Yeah.
And the reason, again, there's no like real secret or anything that I can't tell anybody. It's just, there's an innocence to it that also reflects where I was at the time that album came out. I was in high school, hadn't really experienced life yet. Things didn't get overly complicated. You know, as you grow up, certain things get complicated. Life happens, and that album came out during a time when I, you know, before I had to worry about paying bills, before I had to worry about, typical adult stuff that we all deal with. So when I listen to that song now, that album now, a little bit of that innocence kind of comes back a little bit, and it makes me feel like a kid again. So. Yeah, I don't know if that answers your question, but
I mean, that answers my question, right? Because I mean, you can't really express how it makes you feel, and that's what I wanted, you know.
Yeah, that's the best way to put it. It's hard to put into words how it makes me feel. It just, you know, we can't go back in time and be a kid again. But when I listen to that album, it kind of makes me smile, because it makes me think of that time before things got complicated from life. Yeah. Growing up, you know? Yeah. So.
Yeah. Cause, I think that as a kid, you're like, nothing can be better than right now. And then when mm-hmm. you're adult, you're like, I want to go back as a kid, you know?
Yeah. But
can I not pay bills anymore, Dad? You know? But Rascal Flatts is by far like one of my favorite country bands too.
Yeah.
And I didn't know they broke up until like last year or something. I'm like, oh no.
Yeah, I've gone to see them. I saw them live when they were still together. And my fiance and I went to go see Gary, the lead singer. He's still touring.
Right.
Yeah, we went to go see him in Oklahoma last summer, and he sings just as good as he ever did. He's great. Yeah.
I wonder why they broke up. Did they publicly say why they broke up?
Yeah, from what I remember, it was just, I think they just felt like it was time to take a break and move on. I think they'll be back together.
Oh, yeah. Well,
I think we're going to see a reunion.
A reunion is the best ever. Yeah. Because sometimes you'll see bands now coming back from, 30 years ago, But
yeah.
But I don't know about Kiss. Kiss might come back again. Even though they're on their 45th retirement tour, it's like, all right. All right. So, do we have any new songs coming out in the future? Any albums that your fans can,
yes, I'm going to be following up the day that I found you with an album.
And, okay. Nice.
It's going to be a country album. I'm going to dig a little deep into my country roots on this one.
Nice.
I've already got some songs. One song in particular I'm really excited about that I think is going to be the next single. Yeah. Called Don't Dish It Out If You Can't Take It is the name of the song.
There you go. If you don't hit, that's perfect. And especially nowadays, people need to realize that.
Yeah.
That's an awesome saying. So thank you for that. So you are on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, all the little fun stuff.
Platform. Yes, I've got a YouTube channel. You can catch my single on all the platforms. It's on Spotify, YouTube Music. You can follow me on Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook.
Nice. Well, hopefully TikTok will be around until.
I hope so.
We're going to see. So
we can only hope.
Yes. So. We honestly thank you so much for coming on, and we hope you guys can come back on anytime you want to.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Yes, sir. And everybody out there listening, listen to The Day That I Found You is a new single, and go all the way back in time and listen to Angel Wings. Angel Wings is by far the best song I've ever heard.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yes, sir. So for everybody listening out there, always remember, when words fail, music speaks. Bye, guys.